Rudy, joining us is retired Deputy Fire Department Chief Richard Ailes, who was one of the first responders on the scene. Now, as I understand it, Chief, you had just completed a 24-hour shift in Canarsie when you saw on your television what was happening. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So it was kind of behind the eight ball to start the day. But, you know, in the morning, it had a busy night tour the night before, several fires, emergencies, and all, doing paperwork and the TV on in the office and the events of the day are unfolding. And, you know, initially the first report was that it was a small commuter plane that had crashed into one of the towers. So not an event that had never happened before in New York, but, you know, still a significant event. And I was just running through my mind, you know, as I'm doing my paperwork, how I would be approaching this as a command chief, you know, arriving on the scene. But, you know, very shortly thereafter, the real story began to unfold. And, you know, the New York City Fire Department at that point initiated a total recall of all of its uniformed members to report to their division. And that's kind of how my day of September 11th, you know, began operationally.
When did you, how long did it take you to arrive, and what were your first reactions when you got to the scene?
Well, I went from Canarsie over to the 15th Division, my division in Brownsville. And, you know, logistically speaking, it takes a long time to get the staffing, additional tools and equipment and everything in place. The city provided, you know, buses, and, you know, as we're gathering all of this, you know, material, we were already, you know, with communications, we're already aware of the second plane hitting the second tower, and, you know, ongoing, and while we were still in Brownsville, we were made aware that one of the towers had collapsed.
Oh.
And now, upon leaving Brooklyn on our way into Lower Manhattan, on the way there, we were alerted to the fact that the second tower had collapsed. So I had the information, you know, in hand, and fortunately, because they didn't have to deal with the initial shock of arriving on the scene and not being aware of what was about to transpire. So we arrived on the scene 20 minutes after the second collapse. And, you know, recall the weather that day was absolutely magnificent, a crystal clear, perfect September day in New York City. And to arrive on the scene down in Lower Manhattan, it was like nightfall. It was nightfall in the midst of a heavy snowstorm with all the debris and the smoke and all of that.
It was like being in a nuclear explosion or something you see when a tornado happens. Black when you got there, Chief?
Yes.
Because then it turned, after a while, it turned white. It was all white for a while.
Yeah, you know, with all of the dust and the debris that was kicking up because, you know, the fires were burning and everything had been pulverized. So you have, you know, crushed cement and concrete and, you know, plastics and all of that, which was really, you know, really tough to get through. The scene of the carnage, really, that I can compare it to is maybe the footage that I saw from the London bombings during World War II. You know, it looked like.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was trying to think. How can I explain to the New York people how to go through this? And the first thing that came to mind was the Battle of Britain.
Right.
And
yes.
What the British people had to go through. And
yeah.
You're absolutely right. And Kissinger told me this was worse than any single site in Berlin after the war. I mean, there was a lot more of it in Berlin, but nothing quite like this.
I wonder if that would include Dresden, but.
I don't know.
That's for another day. But
yeah. it was quite a large. Even the president, when he first came over, it looked at it and said, "Oh my God, that's much bigger than it appeared to be on television."
Yeah,
it was. I mean,
those two buildings were
two of the biggest buildings in the world.
Right. You know, Rudy,
two.
You know, one of the saddest things for me is when I was a little kid, my dad used to take us, me and my two siblings, down when they had just dug so the buildings were going to be built there. And then every so often we'd go back and we'd see it as it was under construction. And I remember the first time I came back to New York and saw that they weren't there, I just started crying.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so emotional to look back and see such a part of your life that's just gone. But can you imagine the people and also what you first responders saw and dealing with the people there? I mean, I'm sure you'll never forget it.
No, absolutely not. And you know what you said there, the towers were a monument in New York City. And if you've ever been down, anyone that's been down in lower Manhattan, it's very difficult to navigate. I mean, the streets are, you know, windy and stuff. It's very easy to get lost, except with the Twin Towers, that was always your directional point. You kind of always knew where you were.
Absolutely right.
Right.
The Twin Towers. I find myself to this day, actually, and, you know, my office tower is down in lower Manhattan, you know, always looking, instinctively looking for that. It's just not the same thing. And, you know, it's a beautiful job that's been done in the, you know, One World Trade Center and the restructure. I initially wanted to see both towers get replaced, and I was wrong. In retrospect, you know, what's been done is absolutely, you know, magnificent. But instinctively, I look, and it's just not the same. I don't feel the same way of having that directional borderline for me to let me know where I am down in lower Manhattan.
Well, when you look back 20 years later, what if there's one message that you could give the American people? What would that be, Chief?
Well, to not lose sight of togetherness. I mean, remember how united our country was, how that overwhelming feeling of patriotism. I don't feel that sense now, and I mean, it's for many, many, many reasons. You know, we seem to be very divided, you know, politically, and, you know, our country's always had difference of opinions, you know, politically. That's fine. That's, you know, things work better that way when consensus comes in and we collaborate on doing things together and finding our way. But that's the message. I mean, the total unity that we felt, and I don't have that sense, and I haven't had it for you know, for a long time. And to always be ever vigilant. Our enemies are there. They are always waiting for an opportunity, and you know, it takes a village. So we all need to be looking out for each other, for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Chief. God bless you.
And thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Take care.